This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We've brought in Bobby Belt for this because people are annoyed, but it feels like we could annoy them a little bit more.
Hell yeah, brother.
Bobby is here. If worse comes to worse, we're going to just have him list off hot people. It's going to be a fun time. Oh, my God. Do you not know that story?
Megan Fox. No, I don't. Alec Medford.
There was a day where he had said that there were 100 women hotter than Shakira, and then he listed off. Was it 100?
Yes, it was. He listed off. We tried to stop it multiple times, and then he just started talking faster, and it was truly amazing. So my question for y'all to kick this thing off, you've heard Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton and Carter. You're familiar with how the game went down, but when did you think the Cowboys-Ravens game was over? Did you turn the game off, and then did you have to turn it back on? Because I watched till the bitter end. Now, I know, obviously, it became more exciting at some places, but I watched even when I thought the game was freaking over because, you know, that's how I like to party.
I think it was the second Baltimore possession is when I knew this game was done. And that was the Kalen Carson undisciplined play where Nelson Aguilar goes for big plays. Should have been, 7 yards? Turns into huge. And then I saw this stat, Kevin. This
was Aguilar.
I'm
saying, remember?
Yeah.
That guy's like, I saved a baby because Nelson Aguilar can't catch.
The stat that I saw on the TV at that point was Baltimore, 12.7 yards per play. Dallas, 3.1 yards per play. And then Derrick Henry just kind of rolls in behind the offensive line for his touchdown. And I was like, all right, that's it. Like, that's the best the Cowboys can get is they got 3 points from a 65-yarder. It's sad that you have to rely on Brandon awesome. Aubrey to bail you out from 65 yards away every time. It's awesome that he made the field goal. It's sad that he has to bail you out from that distance that you can't even get close enough to give him a 30-yarder. But then whenever that touchdown happened right after that, the way that went, I was like, this one's over. Now, the comeback happens. I was still there. I stopped taking notes in the third quarter, but I was still there watching the game, and I thought for a second, just like in Angels in the Outfield, it could happen, but it didn't happen.
So there is a very specific confluence of plays. If you're not watching on the Twitch or YouTube,
somebody said Kalen Carson needs to go, and I don't agree with that.
He had a bad game.
He's a rookie, and he's had a couple of moments that have been very bad. But I think you're keeping that guy around for the future. But I guess, do you miss Deron Bland at this point because of the way that he's had some big plays bust in his face?
Now, what the hell?
When he has
that
been
is kind of what it felt like yesterday.
Playing the game of football.
I assume. Now, I know a lot of people will point to the CeeDee Lamb fumble at the 9 early in the second quarter. To me, it was two plays after that. It's 2nd and 6. The Ravens have the ball at their own 13. There's clearly a miscommunication. And Lamar Jackson is just standing there in the backfield, not ready to pass. He has nobody to hand the ball off to. It leaves him 1-on-3 versus Cowboys defenders, and he says, F it, and gets 9 yards in the first down. I realize at that point it was still only 14-3. Mm-hmm. Any reasonable person could think, hey, this is still a ball game. It's only in the second quarter. That play was emblematic of how I thought we were done for the day. It was a busted play, and they didn't know what to do. And then Lamar Jackson went 1-on-3 and still got the first down, and I was like, well, this is going to be the day.
Actually, Kevin, 5th possession. My notes here. Baltimore's in complete control of this game. Defense for Ravens is continually stopping Dallas. offensively. They can pretty much do whatever they want. Screenplays are eating the Cowboys fans' souls right now. Donovan Wilson gets turned around and pitch and catch from Lamar Jackson to Bateman, and then it's 21-3. That's another moment right there. In my notes also, right before the CeeDee Lamb interception, or fumble. The fumble, right before that, because you were doing good. You looked pretty good. You knew Baltimore was hitting you hard. It's your third possession. Huge blitz pickup by Rico Dowdle gives Dak time to get the ball to Ferguson, right? Great catch by Lamb to keep going down there. They're finding some rhythm. Then the end of the first quarter comes. And in my notes, I wrote, I bet they lose rhythm in the break between quarters. The next note I make after that, you're effing kidding me. Fumble by Lamb negates all the good you just did.
Yeah.
They lost their rhythm, and then like they were just... It was bad to start, man, and it all starts with they wanted the ball and couldn't go down the field and score.
Now, Bobby, like I know for work you're going to keep watching, but it is amazing how many people are saying that they turned off the game from the 9-0-3. I knew it was over at 14-3, turned off the game. I was driving, so I heard the whole second half right here on 105.3 The Fan. But I didn't watch after the CD fumble from the 2-1-4 after the first two drives. I knew it was over and just had it as background noise. From the 9-4-0, I turned it off 3 minutes into the third. You just see it again and again and again. And I know what we're going to get in about 2 hours. Like, I am not, it's not lost to me that when we talk to Steven, it's long season. There's still a lot of football to play. If you look back at that game and how we came back, if we would have executed better, we could have won. Like,
if we win Thursday night, we're 2-2 and everything.
Yes, exactly. I understand all of that's going to happen, but that is so detached from Cowboys fans' reality right now. Just like the thing that Jerry Jones said on Friday about it's only the media that cares. Look, we talk to fans all the time. We're at Buffalo Wild Wings. We are going to be in Mesquite this Friday. Last Friday, we were in Frisco at Buffalo Wild Wings. That is what they're talking about. Not because we just made it up, but because it's happening. And it feels like there is a giant disconnect right now.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I think we talked about this morning, when he says that y'all are the only ones asking me about it, like essentially saying, like, I don't have anybody internally asking me about it, then it's like, okay, let's even operate under that's the reality, which I don't think it is. I don't think internally they all think our running back situation is just hunky-dory. I think that your role is the GM. Like, you're the one that needs to be asking the questions in those meetings of them. What's going on here? Like, what do we have the guys? Is this here? You're not the one to get the questions asked to you. You're the one who's supposed to go in there, ask the questions of your evaluators, your coaches, say, what are we doing here? What are we doing to improve? Do we have the right personnel here? Do we have, you know, the scheme? Is this all set? And to me, it's the wrong question to be asking, or the wrong way to look at it. Like, even if you aren't getting those questions, that's not the point. You're supposed to be in there asking the questions, and not even necessarily asking questions. You're supposed to be in there demanding answers for what is a really bad running game.
That's it right there. Demanding answers. Why are we doing this wrong? You need to tell me, and we need to fix it now. Not, hey, guys, everything's going to be fine. We're watching them grow. Like, you need to make sure that those things are fixed immediately. That's your job as the GM. I think, Bobby, when he's saying nobody's asking me about it, he's talking about the Barry Switzers and the Bill Parcells. Is like, they're not talking to him about it. I don't think it's the people internally that are in the office. I don't think it's Will McClay. I don't think it's those guys. I think it's the people that he respects and has their opinion more than anything else.
Look, there's this is a little bit of cheating. But because you released Ezekiel Elliott last year and you didn't try to work on a reduction in pay or anything else, because you released him, he's counting twice against your cap this year. There's the split charge from June 1 release last year, and then there's what he's counting against the cap this year. His combined cap hit is $8 million.
And that's why we talked with, I can't remember if it was Steven or Jerry at this point, and they said, we asked about, like, why bring back Ezekiel Elliott when you thought he was playing so poorly you had to move on from him? And they're like, no, it's a different contract. And I'm like, yeah, I guess kind of, but you still...
He wasn't living up to that contract.
And you still had to take the hit for that contract. So that's yet another thing. Why can you not afford Derrick Henry? Because you're paying Ezekiel Elliott against the cap twice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's ultimately what it comes down to, because the number for Zeke this year is $8 million. It's $8,040,000 to be exact. Let's just, if you look at the top leading rushers in the NFL this year. Saquon Barkley's number one. Saquon Barkley's cap hit this year is $3.8 million. Jordan Mason from the San Francisco 49ers. His cap hit is under a million. It's $708,000. J.K. Dobbins is next. J.K. Dobbins was a free agent right there for you to get. J.K. Dobbins' cap hit is $1.13 million. In fact, if you just take Zeke's cap hit for this year, not even including the split charge, Zeke's cap hit is about twice what J.K. Dobbins is. You go Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara's cap hit is $4 million. And then rounding out the top five, Derrick Henry and his 281 yards. Derrick Henry's cap number is $5.1 million. Zeke's is $3 million more than what you're getting from Derrick Henry.
Zeke had two carries.
Yeah, that's
he had two carries in this game. I can't blame him for the two carries that he had. I can the discussion about running back, I can say you have lots of other problems at the running back position that just have never been addressed. But they didn't even, like, Zeke's not, they know he's not useful right now.
You can't blame him, but you can blame.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The general manager for, like, yeah, having that be your solution to where it's like, okay, you can look at it and say this isn't going to be effective, so we're not going to lean into something effective, and you can't necessarily blame Zeke for that, but that just is poor roster construction. That's poor team building.
It really is. And I know because we tried this last week with Steven. He's going to say, hey, the score of the game was not really going to lend you to running the ball. I can't remember which possession it was in the second half, but the Cowboys did boldly decide to run the ball on the first play of one of their drives. It got literally nothing. And they're like, the hell with this. We're just passing from here on out. From the 214, I was done at 28-6, Kevin, but you can handle more than me. Your tolerance is high because A&M's last championship was in 1939.
Oh, man, yeah, hey, you've been through it,
it
man.
It was a tough game this weekend.
You've been through too. It before.
I'm not going to argue you on the merits of that because I will lose.
Arch Manning threw two interceptions, though, so.
He gave himself a C+. I know we're talking about the Cowboys, but that's a great example. Texas beat the ever-loving crap out of an inferior opponent, and mm-hmm. Arch Manning was like, that's fine, C+. And like, that's the kind of thing that You'd love to hear more of, but then again, why? Does it make any difference what you hear if what you see is the same?
Bobby, did you hear a lot of, because after last week, I heard a lot of September football. And even a couple times, Tom Brady said it during the broadcast. He was like, this is what September football is. You're trying to find out things you're good at, things you're bad at, and then you can get rolling later on. And we've seen, Brad Sham mentioned multiple times on the postgame show yesterday, hey, this is exactly kind of how things were going last year. And then the offense fixed itself after week six, after the blow up and everything. He mentioned that part. But did you hear a lot of this is September football from McCarthy last night?
No, I mean, you'll hear a little bit of, hey, it's a process. I mean, I think Dak used that term yesterday. Micah Parsons had said something about, we'll just get back at it, work on it tomorrow. And then he kind of shuddered. It's funny
watching. Work in progress, I heard multiple times.
It's funny watching Micah talk right now about this stuff because he's trying. You'll hear him start an answer where he's trying to be the diplomat and he's trying to say the safe thing. And then the Micah answer comes out in the back half of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was doing that yesterday. He goes, we start out tomorrow. Just get at it tomorrow. And he goes, no, you know what? We've been working on it. We were supposed to already have this fixed. At some point, you got to say you're grownups and you got to take responsibility. And so I think Micah's frustration, honestly, it's a little ironic. It's that he's playing more disciplined in his assignment than he has in previous years. And I think they've sold him effectively on play within your assignment, play, do your job. And they've sold him on that. And now that he is only responsible for his job, he's seen the way others don't do their jobs at times, how it causes busts. And he's really frustrated. And it's like, well, as great a player as you are, like that's how some people felt with you on the defense in recent years, where you were causing busts the same sort of way.
It is frustrating. Bobby, I'm curious if you were there for this, maybe even you were one of the people that was filming this. What did you think about Dak, who, we've discussed this, he's not necessarily one to, like, I'm going to proactively volunteer information to the media.
Mm-hmm.
Say, jump off if you want. Now, I could be wrong, but the strong implication is jump off the bandwagon if you want.
Get back on when we're 2-2 after Thursday.
Okay, that is actually a very fair point. But my question is, do you think people get confused about, I'm frustrated because I love this team and we're not playing well right now versus jumping off the bandwagon? I don't think just because you're like, our team is playing crappy right now means that you're like done forever. You're just like, I really wish we'd play better.
Yeah, so there's a handful of guys on the roster and over the years that I would have expected as they're walking in the locker, they will just say stuff out loud where they know what the media said. I remember Tyrone Crawford one year was walking back to the locker and he goes, y'all still talking that S? Y'all still talking that S? So you'll get it occasionally. Dak has never been the randomly volunteer something as you're walking to the locker guy. So I saw the video. I was not out there. We're doing our on-field interview for NFL Network right after the game.
Whoa.
And so it looked odd to me. I did have people tell me later. They said there are fans in that little corridor area. Somebody had said something to him.
Oh, okay.
And was like chirping at him a little bit. And I think he was just like, okay, jump off if you want. Like basically he was replying to something.
Which
is that was
totally
being said
fair,
to
him. Totally fair response.
And I think he probably believes or thinks, obviously fans can get down in that area, but it's generally pretty much media. And so he's maybe not expecting that. So he may have been extra frustrated by, this is not the time where I want to hear this during this walk to the locker.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. Coming up next, let's run for the hills. How the Cowboys are failing to move the ball or stop anything on the ground. We did the research next on the Fan.
And here's a handoff to Henry coming on the right side. He blows through everybody down to the 15. Turns left at the 10. Carson swipes at him. Can't get him. And Henry just rambles in for the Baltimore touchdown.
You could tell about half a second into that play that it was going to be a touchdown. Bobby's hanging out with us for the beginning of the show today. Remember, Mike is back on Rangers assignment. He will be gone all week as the very crucial, dire, so important final week of the Rangers season begins.
From the 254, man, you guys need a reality check. This team is an 8-8 team, 29 years of nothing and fake excitement. They're going to the Super Bowl. Yes, they're going to watch it.
What's
going to
happen in week 18 then?
What's the reality check that we need here? Yeah, 8-8 is, that's only.
I mean, it could still break the other way. They could be above 500.
What's the reality check?
See, okay, this is my theory.
Mm.
That this is just somebody who just assumes that because the Cowboys are on our station that we do nothing but hype them up, and they just start every show by sending like,
oh, they have a time text.
Like, you need a reality check. And we're like, yesterday was an embarrassment. All right. But I mean, to be fair, if we need a reality check, I did some research yesterday.
I love research.
Hey, if you thought that the Cowboys run defense was bad, you're right. If you thought that the Cowboys run offense was bad, you're also right. But
they're bad at both things.
What you need to realize is it's even worse than you thought.
No, it can't be.
Can it not?
It can't be.
I accept that challenge. All right. Let's go to overall statistics. The Cowboys have 221 yards rushing this season. The Ravens had 274 yesterday alone on 17 fewer carries. So just think about this for a second. I just want you to think about this for a moment.
They're more efficient?
The Ravens had 17 fewer carries yesterday than the Cowboys have all season and still ran for 53 more yards. That's not a good sign. What do you think is the longest run of the season for the Cowboys, Corey?
13 yards.
Close. Very good guess. 12 yards.
All right.
By CeeDee Lamb. Next high. That was in the season opener, by the way. Rico Dowdle, 10 yards. Also in the season opener. Ezekiel Elliott, season high carry. He went for 9 yards. Also in the season opener. And Deuce Vaughn, 4 yards. My point is this.
I think Deuce Vaughn had like a 20-yarder in preseason.
That doesn't count.
Okay.
This. And that's why Brandon Aubrey is not the co-holder of the field goal record yet.
I think Zeke's had a couple of big runs in practice.
That is.
But at this point, Kevin, they pretty much want to see you have those big runs in a game.
Yes, that's very fair. But you know what? Hold on. You haven't heard the rest of the stats yet. Maybe they're better than you think.
All right. Yeah, let's go.
The Cowboys have 3 runs for 10 or more yards this season.
There you go.
2 of them are from CD. So
okay.
You have 1 run from a running back that is 10 or more yards, and it was Rico Dowdle at 10 yards. You have no runs longer than 12 yards. And I know what you're thinking. I was prepared for this. I know Bobby was thinking this too. Yeah, but I bet opponents... People just don't run for 10 plus
yards. Yeah, I bet opponents don't run for 10 plus yards.
Fair
maybe.
Point.
They're averaging 6-1, I think, from Baltimore. So they must have just been getting 6 yards every time.
Exactly. So what's the big deal? Fair. How many 10 plus yards runs did the Cowboys give up against Cleveland? Only 2.
There you go.
So we're rocking and rolling.
Way to go, Zim.
What about against New Orleans? 4. Oh, that's not good. What about against Baltimore? 10.
What? You're kidding me.
No. I went back and...
10?
Yeah.
In one game?
Yeah. And so you can see it's now exceeded a doubling up. So at this point, the Giants are going to run for 10 plus yards 23 times or something like that. But just think about this. This is my point about the run offense. Like, let's just stay focused on the run offense because I realize that, you know, Jerry said we're the problem and we're the only people who care.
Yeah.
The Cowboys have run for 10 or more yards 3 times this season. Their opponents 16 times.
But CD ran for 2 of those.
He did. So they have 1 running back play that has gone 10 yards. If your follow-up question is, how many running back plays have they had where the running backs run more than 10 yards? 0. Rico Dowdle got 10 yards on a carry. Besides that, none. Their opponents, 16 times.
Okay.
New Orleans did it more than the Cowboys have the entire season. Baltimore did it 7 more times in one game than the Cowboys have all season. And that just feels like such a damning indictment on both sides. Because if you want to argue one side or the other, it's tough to say. I think they're both terrible. But it just shows defensively, you cannot prevent the explosive run play. And that it shows offensively, you cannot create an offensive explosive play that doesn't involve CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, your offensive game does, I mean, your slow starts are reliant upon the fact that you aren't really good at running the ball. And then they know you're running the ball on first down, and they know you're going to have to throw on third down because you were probably in a third and long situation. That's where it is. I will agree with Jerry on you can't have terrible timing penalties that screw over your drives.
Fair.
That's discipline. I I know coaches have said in the past, and Bill Parcells, I don't coach penalties, but that's on both the players and the coaches to be more disciplined in that situation. I hate the other side of the ball. The defensive front with no stops, they're running at Micah. The defensive tackles are miserable. They get out to the edge. They go up the middle. It doesn't matter. They can't stop them. They don't know how to. That's where, as bad as it is, and Kevin, Jerry taking the aggressive approach at us, you guys or the media are screwing this over on the run game. It's the other side of the ball that just puts you in backbreaking situations over and over to start the football game.
Okay, fair. So I took a look at that as well, just in case, Bobby.
You're so prepared.
I anticipated from Stephen Jones, not Corey. Mm. I anticipated this level of potential pushback. So I decided to check. Maybe there's just not a lot of explosive running plays because the Cowboys have not been in a situation where they're going to run the ball a lot.
Boom.
Sure, would the first game have lent itself to a whole lot of runs? I guess one could argue that very strongly for the exact same reason the last two didn't. So let's take a look. So let's take all of the, you know, just total accumulation out. How many yards do you get per carry? Well, this is where the Cowboys are going to shine because they are not last.
Yes.
Or next to last. Or next to next to last.
Okay.
You have to go all the way up in the standings to tied for 29th is where you will find the Dallas Cowboys. So the Rams, Bears, and Raiders all have a worse per carry average than the Dallas Cowboys' robust 3.6 yards per carry.
What teams again? Can you name those teams again?
The Rams,
okay.
Bears, and Raiders.
All right, all three of those teams have had to throw the ball a lot because they've been down, correct?
Yes.
Like the Rams have had to throw the ball a lot because they've been down 14 almost every game.
Man, what a win, bud.
The Bears, you said it earlier, Bobby, you're not a big fan of the DeAndre Swift signing for the Bears.
It's not very good.
And Caleb Williams, you know, even though those games are close, they're like, Caleb, air it out, buddy. And then the Raiders have had to air the ball out because Gardner Minshew's the man, is what I've learned there.
True.
So you're in a situation, you're one of those teams where you've had to air the ball out a lot, Kevin. But also,
who are they tied with?
They're tied with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, the interesting thing about
3-0.
The Pittsburgh Steelers is the Pittsburgh Steelers run the ball more than just about anybody in the league.
Yes.
And so I guess you could make an argument that they're more like, let's volume rush this thing and we'll just wear you out as we go along. But think about that. So you can take it from whatever perspective you want. I just wanted to bring you some of the cold, hard numbers that have nothing to do with opinion or anything like that, because that was the accusation that was lobbed on Friday, is like, it's the media that cares. I'm telling you, when we talk with Steven at noon, there's a lot of football to play. There's a lot of other quality teams that are 1-2. He might even make reference to San Francisco. That would be my guess.
Bobby, I want to say, because I do feel this way a lot, the offensive line is not good enough yet. I've seen multiple times where I've been like, Tyler Guyton, you're getting your ass kicked.
Guyton and BB both struggled a lot yesterday.
And there was a moment where you saw Dak get sacked and Guyton runs over to like help him up and Dak just gets up and runs off. Like, look, man, you're the reason I'm on the ground right now. You're supposed to be protecting my ass. You're not doing it. I want to say that's the case. But I did hear you this morning say that EPA for those plays says that they should be gaining more yards than they are.
Yeah,
correct?
The next gen stats say that the expected yards, whether it be next gen stats or down and distance stuff from other analytics, the expected yards per carry, they're consistently falling short of that. I think yesterday the number from next gen stats was they had minus 17 rush yards above expectation. So when you talk about on their carries, next-gen stats would have said, for instance, they should have picked up 80 yards, and they pick up like 63. So that's how it works.
And I know some people might be like, oh, 17 yards, big deal. But just think about when those yards could have happened.
Yeah.
Like, could it have been on a 3rd-and-2 where you could have kept a drive going? Or could it have been on that 1st-and-10 where instead of getting 0 yards, you popped like a 5 or 6 yard carry, and you're like, here we go. Now we're in business. 2nd-and-4, 2nd-and-5, something like that. So when the yards could have happened is huge as well. I think we can spread the blame around the slow start from Guyton and BB because they're rookies, the ridiculous efforts into shoring up the running back room, the concerns about going on the cheap and drafting poorly to address the defensive line, and just the all around, it's not an issue from the front office. So I'm not saying it's just one thing that's causing all these problems. I'm just saying when it's like, oh, that's you guys. Here are the numbers. All right. 16-3 in terms of 10-yard rushes given up. That's only in three. That's only in three games. What have you seen from New Orleans to the Ravens that makes you think, yeah, but we're fixing it?
Well, the fixing part is where I was about to say, what's the solution? Jerry said it, hasn't he? They're getting better. That's the only thing, because of the position they put themselves in, saying we're going to start two rookies. We didn't have anybody better to be the options. We let go of people and we didn't sign anybody better to be the options just in case things don't go right. Jerry's saying it. We just got to wait it out because we got to hope that they get coached and they get better. That's the only other solution, because otherwise, Kevin, they're going to have to trade a first round draft pick or a second round draft pick, and they don't want to do that. They don't want to trade picks. Not only is that a lot of work, but then whenever draft comes around, they don't have those picks.
Hagee, if you take just the running plays that have occurred this season for the Cowboys when they are within 7 points,
yes,
either leading or trailing by 7 points, which is, you're clearly not down so much that you can't run the ball. The Cowboys this year have 23 carries for 106 yards. That's 4.6 yards per carry. Doesn't sound so bad. You take the CeeDee Lamb jet sweeps out, it's a 3.9 per carry. And that's when the game is clearly not out of hand.
Just, it's frustrating. Frustrating, frustrating.
There was part of me, too, that yesterday was like, hey, F it. Let's just do two-minute drill from the start of the game.
Oh, let's start onside kicking from the start.
Yeah, exactly.
Game.
Let's just do it that way. But the Cowboys did go fast. They did try to go tempo early in the game, and it fell apart on them again.
I got bested in the comments on Twitter when we converted the onside kick. And I was like, there's nothing Brandon Aubrey can't do. And people were like, unfortunately, he can't play quarterback or running back.
Can he kick? I think he could kick a ball accurately. So he might be. Can you kick a pass? Can you forward kick a pass?
Don't.
Is that like the drop kick?
Yeah. Look, he's into throw as a foot guy.
Quick. Sorry.
Not a bad idea. Didn't Dak discover Brandon Aubrey, though? Maybe we should give Dak some personnel credit there.
Fair. You know? I figured that's why we brought
Dak
you on.
Prescott, Dak Prescott. $60 million a year personnel guy.
Would it make you, I'm seriously curious, would it make y'all feel any better if Stephen Jones comes on at noon and he goes, you're right. You know, I'm looking back at this game and maybe we have made some mistakes on personnel and we're really going to have to take a look at that over the next few weeks and see if there's a way to fix it. I don't think that's what he's going to say, but if he did,
would that make you
feel any better?
I feel like they know what the reality is and they're not just blindly turning their eye from it.
Yeah, it's like the refusing to go to the doctor to get a diagnosis. Like you don't want to hear it. You're in denial. You don't hear it. You can't address the problem until you realize that it's there. So, yeah, if he were to come on today and say, hey, we failed in these ways and these things got to be better. And maybe even if he's realistic about it, says, I don't know how much we can fix some of that right now other than with the guys that we have. But this is going to change our approach when we get into the offseason moving forward. Then, yeah, I'd feel great about that.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, what was the best team performance or perhaps most surprising result of the NFL weekend? Let's do it next. Looking at you, Vikings, right here on The Fan.
Shotgun. Darnold. In a crowd. It's caught. Johnny Munt. Touchdown, Vikings.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where I'll go ahead and tip my hand. That is going to be my answer. What was the best team performance or perhaps most surprising result of the NFL weekend? If you want to go back to the Cowboys and the Ravens, that's perfectly fine. Did they make sure to wedge in that 28-3 discussion with Tom Brady? Of course they did. But I'm going to argue it's the fighting Sam Darnold, who, it's amazing. Sam Darnold has 8 touchdown passes.
What?
Last year he had 2. The year before he had 7. The year before that, 9. The year before that, also 9. So Sam Darnold is on the cusp of having a better season than he has in
his life
5 years.
Oh, okay.
Well, to be fair, if you go back in 18 and 19, he had 17 and 19 touchdown passes, but he's probably one game away from having more touchdown passes than he has in 5 years. And the fact that Minnesota just beat down Houston, I was stunned by that.
I appreciate what you're saying about Sam Darnold because, again, I have admitted it last week, Kevin. It looks like I was wrong about Sam Darnold. In year seven, he finally got with the right team, is on the path to do great. However, Brian Flores' defense in Minnesota right now is on fire. That defense looks so good. And Kevin, you know how we feel about C.J. Stroud. They made him look like he was lost on the field. So yeah. Sam Darnold and Brian Flores are absolutely crushing it right now. I think not only do I think Kevin O'Connell is a very good coach to be able to get Sam Darnold into the mix and do what they did with him so far, but he has a fantastic defensive coordinator there with him as well. That one definitely, I'm not saying it's a surprise to me that I'm caught off guard by how they performed.
Look, then
that was a dominant performance.
I'll admit, I'm shocked. I'm shocked that they won. I'm shocked that they won in such dominating fashion. I'm shocked that Sam Darnold continues to fill up the stat sheet. Just shocked across the board. 17-28 for Sam Darnold, 181 yards, but most importantly, 4 touchdowns.
I just got a text from Mike Bassick, and he said he's watching me. So,
oh, was it like in a threatening manner?
I think he's just watching us on the Twitch or the YouTube or something. I think that's what he's saying.
The other stupid text he sent out just to irritate us?
Yeah, sure. He sent me a text that said,
I love Mike, but I know he's doing that to piss us off.
I'm in California. News hasn't gotten here yet. How did the Cowboys do?
And I said, not like the Gold Rush. You could have watched the game.
I said, not so good, Al, because that's an old anyway. Yes. And he said, crap. Did they not execute? And I said, the run game wasn't the problem. And he said, at the end of the day, it's a long season. So Mike knows, man.
Hey. Those other teams, they pay their players too.
They do. I would like to. Which one did we come back with, Kevin?
The Vikings.
All right. I would like to play Cut 19 if we could. Alec Medford.
Dalton taking a shot to the end zone. It is caught. Adam Thielen. Magnificent pass from Dalton.
That is, Kevin, two of the old mans out there making plays for the Carolina Panthers.
Are you proud of him for that?
I am. Well, I'm proud of Adam Thielen. Okay. And now I guess I'm proud of Andy Dalton for screwing up the potential number one overall pick for the Panthers. It sounds like they really want to win. Mm-hmm. And Andy Dalton goes out there, 319, 3 touchdowns, the only quarterback to do that so far this year, plus 300 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Wow.
Yeah. And that team looks completely different under the reign of Andy Dalton. So I'm still not prepared to say it was all Bryce Young, because I think in situations like this, your golden child gets moved on from or benched, the whole team gets put on alert. And I think they all were just a little bit like on edge going into this game this week. And they were better. They also beat the Raiders.
If I can piggyback on that just a little bit. Yeah, the most stunning development of the weekend, I guess, if you're going to go with two teams, is the fact that both the Panthers and the Giants won. Like, I was looking at that thinking, okay, it feels safe to assume that these are two of the, if not the two worst teams in football, and they both won, and the Giants won by beating the Cleveland Browns. And so now you have to reflect on that, and you're like, hey, we have one win against a team that just lost to the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to admit, as long as Mike is paying attention and watching us this morning, he made a great point about Cleveland. The Cowboys will win because Cleveland is not good.
They're not good.
The Cowboys will lose because Cleveland is good. It looks like Cleveland is going to be really, really terrible. Sorry, Derek. And that's the only team you've beat thus far.
Yeah, that's a bad situation. But you at least get to beat a team that beat that team. So that's going to make you look good on Thursday, right? Mm-hmm. Whenever you're 2-2 and you're sitting there and you're like, hey, we're in it to win it.
Look, I firmly believe this. If you think the Cowboys are terrible and they're going to get worked by the Giants, or maybe they're just going to lose to the Giants. I mean, fair enough. That's not what I think is going to happen. I think the Cowboys are going to smash the Giants, and then we're going to get the bill of goods all over again. Of like, did you just see? I know we had a tough couple of games, but like, we just got all of our flow back. We're good to go. There is no problem at the Star. We're 2-2, better than San Francisco. Rock and roll. Here we go.
And then you're going, yeah, but their personnel's not good. Their coaching's not good. It's not good enough. Right now, it's Malik Nabers and Daniel Jones. That looked pretty good. Singletary, you know what, Kevin? If I'm the Giants, if I'm any team going forward, why would I ever even throw the ball against the Cowboys? Yeah. I would just say, I'm just going to run the ball against the Cowboys because they can't stop it. And when they prove they finally can, then I can throw it to Malik Nabers. But otherwise, just run against them because everybody can see it. Every team that runs against them right now does well at it. So just continue to do that. But yeah, man, that Giants game over the Bears, Amari Cooper looked pretty good in that game.
Hey, be ready.
He made
ready.
Some impressive catches.
Because we're going to retrade for him. Let's and when the it. Cowboys give up better than a fifth-round draft pick, but it's going to make people really
we
angry.
We don't need him. Well, I mean, shoot.
Do we not?
Yeah, actually, we do. Nobody can get separation. Sometimes not even CeeDee Lamb. They're like, let's just double cover him.
Look,
and then single cover everybody else, and they can't get separation.
I'm not saying that is the only problem for this team, but it is a problem that could be fixed. All right, Alec, did you have a team performance or result that was particularly notable for you this NFL weekend?
Yeah, and I was kind of live tweeting it yesterday. It was that Saints and Philly game because, man,
it was crazy.
It was crazy, and it was really entertaining if you love 1970s football because it was all defense and it was all in the ground game. It was really fun. I actually enjoyed that game, but we talked about it a lot after losing to the Saints. You know, is this a playoff team? Are they going to make a deep playoff run? And I was like, after 2 weeks, I think they're good. I think they're talented. But I wasn't ready to say that they were, you know, world beaters. And you saw that against Philly. And our buddy Ross Jackson that we had on the show to preview the matchup between the Cowboys and the Saints, he found out what the key is to stopping the Saints. And it's having a six-man box with one linebacker over the top. And it made me think, oh, that's simple enough. If you have talent on the defensive line, then you can get away with that and it'll work. And that's why the Cowboys lost. But that's a different conversation in and of itself. But I thought it was interesting to see that right from the jump, it felt like Philly had a read on what the Saints were trying to do all day long.
And look, somebody brought this up. We're going to dive into this more tomorrow or perhaps Wednesday. Just be glad you're playing the Giants this week and not Philly. I'm not glad. I want the tests to continue to come after one another, one another, one another. So there's no way you can backslide with this whatever. Because, like, this is what it feels like it's going to happen. Like, some guy who goes out there and is like, yeah, I hooked up the last two weekends. And he found out it's somebody he'd been with before and he just backslid. He didn't go out and do something new. That's what the Cowboys are going to do. They're going to backslide and whip the crap out of the Giants.
Do it.
And be like, we're good to go. And if they had to play a better team like Philly, then I don't think they would be able to excuse that away. That's what I think is going to happen.
Schedule's in our favor then, Kevin. Yeah. That is all I'm hearing from you right now.
I guess.
Who can be mad at 2-2?
Just wait until you get to the meat.
With the rest of the season ahead of you.
Look, I'm going to be mad at 2-2 if the two wins are over the awful Giants and the awful Browns and you got freaking destroyed in your two home games in between. Save me with the final score yesterday. You saw the game. We know what happened.
Kevin.
Corey,
the fear this offseason was and the discussion was the Cowboys are a good team. They can't beat good teams.
Yep.
So far, that's the reality. So far, the reality and that the fear is becoming true is they didn't get any better than being just a good team.
Agreed. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, and maybe a little Colorado Baylor football next right here on The Fan.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh!